Hi, everyone. Hope you're enjoying the conference and welcome to the Youth Action and Empowerment session. We like to spotlight different youth teams and what's going on with youth every conference. And so today I'm joined by Hannah Ono, one of the leaders of the National Youth Action Team. Eileen Scott, who's also a national team leader and is here today representing her local youth team in the North Tahoe area of California. And Isabel Shannon and Tenzin Stewart of the Skagit County, Washington Youth Action Team. And I'm Sharon Bagatelle and I'm the National Youth Action Coordinator for Citizens Climate Lobby. Our panel today will be sharing with you how middle and high school age youth are actively engaged in the work of Citizens Climate Lobby. So I'll turn it over to Hannah.
Hi, I'm Hannah. As Sharon said, I'm one of the leaders of the National Youth Action Team. I'm a high school senior at Phillips Academy now from Boston. I'm actually in Exeter, New Hampshire for our little Phillips Andover Phillips Exeter rivalry day. So in the National Youth Action Team, I am the leader of the membership team. So basically what I do is I organize monthly meetings and organize action team meetings and bring everyone together in a community. I'm also a field representative in our Climate Massachusetts and some other climate things that I do related to the Massachusetts Youth Climate Coalition and also as an accelerator for Women's Earth Alliance. But here, most importantly, at the National Youth Action Team, we work to support youth under 18 to be active, engaged, and empowered in building political will for climate solutions. We welcome young people and their adult allies to join us. Our two main objectives here are to provide a safe space for CCL youth to communicate and interact with other young people, and to educate and support local chapters to provide engaging and empowering opportunities for youth. So right now, our youth action team underwent a restructuring. So we consist of four main working groups. As I said, I am the leader of the membership team. We have the outreach team, the media team, and the actions team as well. Some of the things we've done in the past year, we organized an endorsement challenge for youth across the country. We put together 10 teams of 5 to 10 youth, more organized like by location geographically, but we also had like an all around the country team that was very successful. Together we racked up over 72 endorsements, including 9 state and local elected officials and 41 small businesses. Recently, we just wrapped up our Climate Action Now challenge, where we focused on calling to urge our representatives to support carbon pricing in the budget reconciliation package. And we racked up 170 actions from youth across the country. If you're interested in joining the Youth Action Team as a youth member or an adult ally, please fill out the Google form I'll put in the chat later, and I will reach out to you as part of the membership team to help orient you and to see what you're interested in being part of the Youth Action Team. You can personalize your engagement with what fits with your schedule, your needs, and what you're passionate about. So some examples you can get involved in are our monthly educational meetings that we hold. Our last one was based on what is going on with climate legislation with our special guest, Brett Cease, CCL's education director. We also have monthly all calls, as I briefly mentioned before. This is a call where we bring together all of our action teams. This includes the membership, outreach, media, and actions team. We talk about our goals, our progress, what we've done so far, basically regroup, and then we split up into smaller groups within each action team to figure out action items that we need to do to have really concrete goals for the next meeting. So leading up to that, we also have team calls for those individual teams should they need extra time outside of those monthly calls to work on what they want to do. So thank you so much. And you'll have lots of time for questions and hear from Eileen as well afterwards.
Okay, I'm just gonna add a little bit here that the National Youth Action Team has a lot of resources and support. We do trainings, we do lobby trainings, we do climate advocate trainings to help start youth teams in local areas. And we have a website specifically for youth, and it's youth.citizensclimatelobby.org. So we'll hope you check that out. We've put together a toolkit for youth leaders to use to create local youth teams and take action. That's our, we'll put that in the chat. And we also have an adult companion resource called the Youth Outreach and Engagement Guide for Chapters, designed to support adults to support youth. I am also available, and we'll put my email address in the chat, to talk with any of you if you'd like to get some guidance on how to get going with CCL, either as an individual or as to create a youth team. So speaking of youth teams, we have two of them represented here, and I'm going to turn it over to Eileen Scott.
Awesome. Thank you, Sharon. My name is Eileen Scott, and I am an eighth grader from Truckee, California, and I am one of the leaders of the North Tahoe Youth Action Team. So for those of you who aren't familiar with where Lake Tahoe is, it's near the border of California and Nevada. We have lots of skiing, lots of snow, so it's always nature has always been very special to me, and it's been very easy to tell the effects of climate change on my area. So from a very young age, I've always been very involved in climate action. I was introduced to Citizens Climate Lobby in fourth grade by my neighbor because he was the liaison for our adult chapter. And then in June of 2019, I went and lobbied Congress with my chapter. And it was really an insane experience, and I really loved that CCL allowed me a way to make a difference in more than just fighting for not using single-use plastics and other things that I had done in the past. So I was involved with the adult chapter for a few years before I decided that it was high time that North Tahoe had their own youth chapter. So with another high school girl, I created it. And given the area I live in, it was fairly easy to find people who were interested in climate action, but it was less easy to figure out how to convince them that CCL was the way to go. So one of our main strategies for finding those interested people was to reach out through school systems. So I live in a pretty small town and small area, which means there are only a few schools in my school system. And it made it very easy for me to be able to push out lots of announcements in these school newsletters and put on school strikes that would bring in participation from a lot of different students. And since we were getting, our youth team was really getting going during COVID, one of the things we figured out is how to do a shoe strike, because we could not make the impact of an in-person strike safely during the pandemic. So instead, what we did is we asked students to donate old shoes to us. And then once we had enough, we created these big signs and went downtown to a plaza and set up all the shoes and the signs and had a speech playing. And it was amazing because it was really a way for people to feel like they were being involved and feel like they were making a difference during the pandemic when it was not safe for us to all congregate. So really the pandemic forced us to think creatively about our outreach because it wasn't as simple anymore as just getting together in a big group and saying, hey, are you interested in this? Hey, are you interested in that? We really had to think more creatively. So I think that in a lot of ways, the pandemic really helped my youth team to get started because people had a lot of extra time on their hands and we got creative to reach out to them. So we were able to get a lot of participation. And the one last thing I'd like to share that my youth team does for outreach and for action is we have an ongoing column in our local newspaper called Climate Dispatches. And we try and recruit youth ages really as long as you're old enough to write a concise paragraph, you can be featured in the climate dispatches. So it's been awesome because we are getting all of these new members who have read the dispatches in the past and want to be a part of it. And it's a great way to let our community know that we're here and we're ready to fight for the place that we love. So I think that if you are seeing the effects of climate change in your own town and you're seeing it in the world, there's no reason for you to think that you yourself can't start something up and can't make a change. Because if I could do it when I was 11, you can too. And that's it.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Wow. Yeah. the power of youth. We'll have time for questions for Eileen and for Hannah. Now we're going to switch over to the Skagit County youth team. We've got Tenzin and Isabel going to share.
Hi, thanks, Sharon. My name is Tenzin Stewart, and I'm a senior in high school. I've been involved with CCL for almost a year now, and I'm the co-lead for the Skagit Youth Action Team in Washington. I first met our team's mentor, Betty Carteret, at our local Youth Earth Summit Conference, an event which hosts community members and local green clubs for presentations on a variety of environmentally focused topics. There, I attended a presentation by Betty on carbon pricing that really drew me in, and it was very educational. So in a way, I learned about CCL's mission before I even knew what CCL was. I and one of my peers kept in touch with Betty, who is the co-lead for the Skagit County chapter, about the idea of forming our team. As a youth who was present at the very formation of a youth team, what I saw was a lot of our members came from the Green Club and the High School Activist Student Union, both of which are groups that are heavily involved with action. They're youth who are already conscious about issues and are taking steps to do something about them. So when thinking about outreach, I think it's really important to look for those kinds of groups and possibly events or opportunities to educate people more so about what CCL is doing than what CCL is. That's just what personally grabbed my interest. From there, I set up a Discord server, which is essentially Slack for those of you familiar. It's just a bit more casual and accessible. That group chat was essential for communicating with each other and kind of reducing that distance between us, especially during COVID times. The team set up monthly meetings with Betty, who as a mentor was vital for the team. We all love Betty. She's a wonderful human being and mentor. She really pushed us to come up with goals and to meet them. She kind of gave our team direction. As students, we don't really have the most time in the world to devote to CCL, unfortunately. So having someone like Betty, who is more informed about what's going on in CCL and has local connections, is really helpful. Now for the structure of our youth action team, because we're a small group, we essentially split into two groups, the lobbying and endorsements team and the education team. The education team got in touch with Jake Erbold from the Washington State chapter about making laser talks, which are short educational videos about big common questions concerning the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. So kind of taking advantage of those resources. Members of the lobbying and endorsements team attended trainings and worked on making connections with local businesses and prominent community leaders for endorsements. Actually, our lobbying and endorsements team lead, Isabel, is here to talk a little bit more about that.
Must be faulty headphones. All right. I think it was really crucial to the success of our team to have split up into two groups because not everyone can give all their attention to multiple topics. So we decided to focus on the sort of two branches of CCL, which are education and endorsements. And our endorsements team for our entire county chapter is pretty student run. I believe most of our chapter's endorsements have come from youth action because people want to listen to the youth. Another important thing that we found is to work at multiple levels. So adults in the chapter will give suggestions for people that we should ask for an endorsement, like, hey, I know this person is really involved in climate action and they own a business locally, so let's ask them. And then our youth team will reach out to them and set up a meeting, usually through email. And I think forming positive members positive relationships with community members has been super important because they can refer you to our friends. We had one business owner who was also on our city council, which was like a kind of a double endorsement. And she actually forwarded our introductory email to about five of her friends who all owned businesses, and then they all endorsed without us having to do a thing. And that was just really wonderful. And she told us that she did that because she really felt like we were honest and authentic about what we were talking about. And she felt like we were very knowledgeable and she felt comfortable doing that. So I think just making sure that your team is very informed about CCL and just the general policies is extremely important, because I've definitely gotten some questions that I wasn't really sure how to answer, but somebody else on my team knew how to answer it. And the same way, it's gone the same way. So I think, yeah, just it's really been important that we keep up to date on what's going on with CCL. And we also have received endorsements from 2 out of 3 state house representatives. So there's an endorser for everybody in our team to kind of connect with, because we have businesses, we have our city council, we have local politicians. And so somebody might really want to work on more of the level of politicians, and they can do that. I also think it's important to have a team lead like myself, because it's hard to get a group of teenagers organized. So having somebody who's able to just organize and say that, you know, you're gonna do these endorsements and you do these and we'll all meet together and talk about it later, is super important to our success. And also participating in the youth endorsement challenge that Hannah talked about was very useful to get people motivated. And yeah, so just working on multiple levels and making sure that you keep everyone up to date is what I would say is important for an endorsements team. And that's all for me. And now we're going to move back to Sharon for questions.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tenzin and Isabel. And they've really, we kind of got you going early this year, right? So it's just been the calendar year.
Yeah, we started in January.
Yeah, so it's so exciting to see this team just blossom, and now they have a national spotlight. So we want to spend the rest of the time just answering questions. So you can raise your hand, you can put them in the chat. If you'd be lovely to see your faces, if you're willing, and we can just kind of have a back and forth. Questions.
Thanks. I am so inspired by all of you. It's so awesome on a Saturday to feel this inspiration. So thank you so much for all you do for our planet. I wanted to ask you, what advice do you have on growing membership? So how do you get other students involved when maybe they haven't thought about climate as much as you have, or politics, you know?
I have an answer, Sarah. I think one thing that I really tried to focus on, and one thing that really served me, was organizing strikes. This was before the pandemic, but this is a really awesome way to get people more aware of climate. And if you organize the strike through your school, it's pretty likely that you'll have students signing up to do it, not because they know a ton or care a ton about the climate, but because it's an easy way out of school and you feel cool, you're going out to do a strike, right? But what happened, at least in my school, is the people who had just done the strike for sake of doing the strike ended up realizing that that the climate was really an important issue. And so I think once I felt that they had realized that, I would kind of come in and say, hey, well, did you know I'm a part of CCL? And so I definitely got more than a few members by doing that. And I think strikes are a great way to reach out to youth, because oftentimes they're drawn to participate in strikes, even if they don't know a ton about the climate. So that would be my main piece of advice. And I know that with COVID, strikes have become harder to organize, but I'm hoping that that might work out for you someday.
For our team, it was, it's been really helpful to sort of slip it into Green Club meetings, which is our environmentally focused club that's part of our school. And Tenzin and I are both club leaders there. So we can't officially invite people to CCL, but we can just kind of mention it and mention that there's a meeting. And a lot of people join that club for community service hours. And so I think that's a good way to kind of show people that there's more to climate activism than picking up trash. So that's been our way of doing it.
Anna, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, just really quickly, I would say that like my like CCL branch at my school, you've never really had much of an issue to get members. I think the biggest aspect is like retention of members, and the best way I've found to have that is to create a community that people want to come back to. I think people come because they want to feel get more involved in climate action and make an impact, but I think they stay because they make relationships with the people and they like feel good about what they're doing. So I think just creating that atmosphere is really important.
Great, thanks to all of you. Let's take another question. Michelle, you have a question?
I do. I'm sorry that my video is not working. It kind of goes back to what Hannah was just saying about retention. You know, one of the challenges, I mean, for you guys, as well as for us trying to figure out how to involve youth, is that, you know, you're moving through school and moving up to a different school or moving on to another state. Any suggestions on how, like, you know, we've always thought high school, but I'm thinking now that I've heard about Ily and fourth grade that maybe we need to start younger. Any suggestions?
Yeah, we kind of have that problem over here too. Most of our members who joined fairly recently are all seniors like myself and Isabel. And so one of our kind of goals is working towards getting younger members. And so that's when you start to think about, which is our strategy, is get in touch with like clubs and stuff. There's a green club at our middle school, and we were thinking about just going down and educating the children, getting them into the cause, and kind of like Hannah was saying, making a relationship with some members. Isabel knows a sweet middle schooler who is just absolutely beautifully involved and invested with environmental issues and climate issues. And so, yeah, I think finding people in those clubs of like middle school is probably your target, just educating those people.
I think flexibility is also really key for long-term retention. Like Ily, I started like my first petition when I was maybe 11 or 12, found myself on like local newspapers and such. So I think that's like really where I started, and I've jumped from different organizations, but I think because I have like paced myself and taken the time for myself when necessary to like prevent burnout, I think it's that type of flexibility is important for like long-term retention. I think even if those people, those members aren't staying in your group for like their entire lives, I think if they continue to do climate work for their entire lives, I think that is just as valuable, if not more valuable.
Yeah, I totally agree with what Tenzin and Hannah were saying. I've definitely had experience with members who have joined CCL, but then never come to any meetings. And I kind of tell myself that maybe every four members that join, one of them will really be super active, and one of them you have the opportunity to build a really good relationship with, and that's okay. Not every member has to be super active, and you don't have to hold yourself to trying to force them to be. And I definitely agree with Tenzin that the younger you catch these interested youth, the better, because when you're able to get maybe a middle schooler or even like a fifth grader or fourth grader integrated into your team, they naturally have more time on their hands. So they'll have time to be more active. They'll have time to build a good relationship with you. And then as they grow and go to high school, being a leader of my local team, I lead it with a high schooler, and most of our members are high schoolers. So I'm used to kind of leading people that are older than me. And I've noticed that naturally you just have less time as you get older, and that's okay. But I think if you're able to catch these members when they're young and they have more time on their hands, and then you build a relationship with them, when they grow up and suddenly have more commitments and not as much time to be super active, that's all right, because they know that you're there and they know that they're still a member of this team. And so they'll jump in whenever they're able. So again, I think getting young members is awesome. And also, if you are thinking of trying to lead or start a team, don't hold yourself to making sure that everyone who joins is always super active, because that's just unrealistic. And oftentimes it's not your fault. People are just busy and they have lives outside of CCL, and that's totally okay. So I think that it's partial recognition that we can't have every member be super active, and catching them in middle school before they get super busy. It's really important.
Also, really quick, I think giving people responsibilities is really important. I know I was part of Sunrise before CCL, and I never really got told what to do. I'm not dissing Sunrise at all, but I think at least in my chapter, there's a lot of levels of what people do. And so because I am involved in making sure that our endorsements group runs smoothly, I think that that has kept me more involved. So just assigning people a task is very important for retention.
Wow, good points. Yeah. Planning for succession and designating roles. Those are key organizing strategies. So thanks for identifying them. We have just a couple more minutes. If anyone else has a question, you can either unmute yourself or raise your hand or drop it in the chat. Any other questions about youth engagement and CCL? Okay, there's a question about why CCL? Okay, is this question about why did you choose CCL? I have this saying that there are lots of flavors of the youth climate movement, and CCL offers a particular flavor. So why did you choose this flavor? Is that the question? Yeah, okay.
Like I kind of said in my little spiel, it was Betty. I just saw her presentation. It was just genuinely fascinating. There were some points that she brought up, and she also mentioned actual beneficial consequences of these changes that she proposed, and about how the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act is actually a step in the right direction. And that really captured me. And I wanted to learn more about that and get more involved. And so when Betty, after that, said, well, there's an entire organization who is working towards this, I wanted to be a part of it. And so I think going back to the mentors thing, just having someone who's there to educate you and guide you and set you along your way, that's kind of, it makes it a lot easier to get involved and to have an impact, it feels. So yeah.
I'm going to super quick add to what Tenzin said. Like I said, I was introduced to CCL at a very young age. And I think at that point, I was just fed up with being told that all an elementary schooler could do for the climate was preach recycling and not using plastic straws and all these things. I knew that there was more we could do. And so as soon as I was introduced to CCL by my neighbor, who is a man I really trust and respect, I think I thought to myself, wow, this is a climate organization that talks to the government, and I'm going to join this this organization, and I'm going to be a part of it, and everyone's going to be blown away. And I think as soon as I did, I really realized that CCL has a very unique vision, and I learned a lot about the carbon fee and dividend, and I thought, why hasn't this been in place already? Why the heck? It's amazing. So yeah, there was really no stopping point from there. I just kept going. But I think it was that original thirst to do something more than just preach after recycling and composting that led me to CCL.
Right. What a wonderful way to end this session. Thank you so much to our presenters and our attendees.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.